Lord, we wish you a happy birthday, church, this morning. Not our anniversary. It's not Prayer and Faith's anniversary. That's in October. But it's our birthday today. We recognize the birth of the church, Pentecost, the day of God's gift of the Holy Spirit to our church. And just a real quick history lesson on Pentecost. The Old Testament Pentecost was a feast that occurred 50 days after the Passover. Of course, the Passover feast celebrated the exodus of Israelites from Egypt. And just as well, Pentecost celebrates God's gift of the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, in the New Covenant of the Messiah, our Passover takes on a new meaning as the celebration of Christ's death and resurrection. And we celebrate that, as you know, as Easter, which is the exodus of men from the sinful world to now a kingdom of God. And in the New Testament as well, we have Pentecost. The Pentecost feast is fulfilled and made new by the coming of now what we have is a new law, which is the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of Christ. So it's fitting this morning to begin the message with Psalms 150, verse 6, which declares, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. The book of Numbers, Old Testament, Numbers chapter 13. I'll also be referencing Isaiah 43, Hebrews 10, Galatians 5, Philippians 3. God, those bunch of them. You can either just listen to it or you can turn with me there. But Isaiah 43 and Hebrews 10 as well. You know, until someone invents a time machine, we can't really live anywhere but the present. And I'm sure we all wish we had a time machine in our lives at one point or another. But it's just a fact that we have to live here in the present. But at the same time, knowing that, it doesn't stop a lot of Christians from being trapped in the past. Because they fondly think of the past, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. They look back on the way things used to be. That's not a bad thing until it can be. Because there's a difference between thinking about the past and then living in it. I mean, sometimes we like to live in the past because it's familiar. We know things that happen to us. There's no surprises. We kind of feel secure because we kind of know what happened. Now think about why you watch reruns of your old favorite TV sitcoms over and over again. I know Pastor Adam and I, we love Andy Griffith, the show. We love MASH. We love all of those old TV shows. And we're always recanting them and seeing how the things that we grew up in life to learn. But that's what happens. When we live in the past, we choose to live there. It's familiar. We're familiar with everything that happened to us. When the past was really good, you can live there. Just thinking back on the past a lot of times gives us that comfort and happiness that we'd like to cherish. But also, if you continue living in the past, a lot of times you can lose sight of your present life. And it can kind of mess you up in your present life. And the fact that you can pass up a whole lot of wonderful opportunities that you may have before you. And it can steal your ability a lot of times to enjoy the moment that you're in because you're so busy thinking about the past. Well, this morning I'd like to speak to you about the edge of yesterday. We sang about freedom earlier in our worship service. Freedom's a wonderful thing. Freedom is a word that everybody likes to use. It's a defining word. Matter of fact, it defines the nation of America. We celebrate that in about a month, on July 4th. We celebrate our freedom, defining a free society. We are a free society to express our opinion, as you've seen this past week. The word freedom, however, it's a lot like the word love, where sometimes we use it, but we may not really be quite sure what we're talking about at the time. I mean, we say we love ice cream, but how's that love in comparison to loving someone in your family? You kind of know the feeling of it and kind of the feeling that it gives you, but giving it distinction so that really it's a clear statement of what we're trying to convey, sometimes that can escape us and we really miss out on the true fact of what the word really means. I mean, you know what it feels like when you have it. But if you were actually pressed to give a definition of what freedom is, it may get a little difficult. Yeah, sure, you can go to Webster's Dictionary and find the definition of freedom. But from a biblical frame of reference, I would say possibly freedom can be defined as release from illegitimate bondage so that you're now able to experience becoming what you were created and redeemed in Christ to be. You see, stop and think about it for a minute. All bondage isn't necessarily illegitimate. All bondage necessarily isn't unauthorized. For example, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, that we are to be bound to Christ. That's legitimate bondage. The Bible says also that a wife is to be bound to her husband. So there are boundaries that we do need to stick to. Freedom also demands a lot of responsibility. People who want to be free, who don't want to be responsible, aren't necessarily ready to be free. For example, a teenager that says, I want to be free from my father and mother, but yet he or she doesn't have any job, they're not quite ready for freedom yet. For freedom always demands responsibility. But we want you to be free from yesterday today and not live on the edge of yesterday. And I don't want anybody here today, or if you're listening through Facebook, to be held to illegitimate slavery or any type of things like that to your past. In the book of Numbers we read today, God had set his people free. They'd been delivered from Egypt. And Israel was enslaved to Egypt for 430 years. They were in bondage to Egypt. And they cried out to be free. They cried out to God, please free us from this bondage that we're living in. And God delivered them. He didn't only deliver them from Egypt, from their past, but he also at the same time delivered them to go to their destiny. So there was deliverance from, in order that there might be a pathway to their destiny. That is, from Egypt to Canaan, place of promise. In order to get from their deliverance from Egypt to their destiny, which was Canaan, they had to go through a process of development, which was called the wilderness. Deliverance, Egypt. Development, the wilderness. And then their destiny, which was Canaan. And what is true of their progression that we can see from the Israelites is true from every Christian today as well. When you and I were saved, we were delivered from the realm of darkness. We were delivered from the authority that Satan had over our lives. You were delivered from the power of sin in order that you might have a destiny for God's purpose and calling in your life, in my life. Because God does have a destiny for every truly born Christian that involves promise and purpose in your life. So, in order for us to move from deliverance and to be able to arrive at our destiny, we have to go through a development. And that development is called the wilderness. Wilderness is when God takes you and I through things in order to reveal to you and I that he is truly God. He wants us to really know him. Not about him. Not tagging along in the strings of our parents' faith and knowing about how great God is. But he wants you to actually see him for yourself. And those are the trials and those are the testings and those are the temptations that we have to depend on God's resources, because we'll find that our resources aren't enough to sustain us. Can't make it on your own, because the wilderness is dry out there. wilderness is barren. Whenever you get away from your parents or grandparents' faith that you grew up in and you're out on your own, you're in the wilderness if you are a believer in Christ. And the wilderness is barren, and the wilderness is no life out there. So if you're going to be able to eat and drink and survive in the wilderness, then God has to rain down manna from above and bring water out of rocks. Because that's exactly what he did to his children in the wilderness. And so the wilderness, the purpose for the wilderness is for God to show you who he is in your life. And so there's deliverance in order to reach our destiny through a process of development. And so the reason why the wilderness was very necessary was to help them forget Egypt. You see, God had knew that the children of Israel had been in Egypt for a long, long time. 430 years is a long time. And he wanted Egypt, after he delivered them, to be left behind, because that was their past. Because God knew that if he did not get rid of Egypt, then the children of Israel would end up taking Egypt with them into Canaan. God doesn't want Egypt going into Canaan, because Canaan is a whole different location. Canaan is a whole different plan and a whole different purpose. And God didn't want the children of Israel to drag Egypt into Canaan. So what he did is he brought them through the wilderness to get rid of the Klingon. As a matter of fact, God told the children of Israelites that back in Exodus chapter 19, after he delivered them, he says, I want you guys to wash your clothes. After he delivered them. I want you to get the smell of Egypt off of you. I don't want you taking Egypt with you, so I'm going to try to disconnect you with your past. I want you to wash your clothes. And I want you instead to discover me in your present time, so that you will be able to trust me for your future and destiny, and not always being dependent upon someone else telling you what to do. And so in Numbers chapter 14, the Israelites are on the verge of entering their promised land, and they're there at the Jordan River. You may be familiar with hymns about the Jordan River or crossing over the Jordan River that perhaps maybe you grew up with. But the Israelites, they had already crossed over the Red Sea. That was their deliverance when they crossed over the Red Sea. But now they're ready to cross the Jordan River, to take them into their destiny. You see, in our lives, we have to cross two rivers. When we cross the Red Sea, that's our salvation. But we also have to cross over the Jordan River, because their lives are destiny. And the children are there at the edge of their tomorrow. And God tells them to go out and spy the land, see what he has promised them in the future. So they sent 12 spies to spy out the land, and the spies come back in Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 27, they say that it's a really good land over there. It flows with milk and honey, and they even brought back some examples of fruit that's over there. They brought back this enormous fruit, to show how productive the milk and honey was. By the way, milk and honey means productivity, or how productive it would, and how productive their future would be. But Numbers chapter 13, verse 28, they said, nevertheless, there's a lot of fruit for productivity over there, but we have a problem. Places are strong. Cities are fortified. The Anak are there, the descendants of the giants. Verse 29. The Amalek are there. The Hittites are there. The Jebusites are there. The Amorites from the hill country, who were excellent snipers, they're there. The Canaanites are living by the sea. In other words, they said it's really nice over there, but there's also a whole lot of problems too that we got to face. So in order for us to take out our future, it's going to be too rough, because there's problems that lie before us. And in the same way with you and I, the reason God takes you and I through the wilderness is to cut us off from our past, so we can see personally how great our God is. so that when there are problems that arise up in our future, we won't end up running from it. We won't get scared about it. Because we've seen God through our wilderness. We've encountered Him there, and He's been able to disconnect us from our yesterday, from our past. See, many of us have a hard time making it through tomorrow because we're carrying the baggage of what we have from yesterday. We're still tied up. We're messed up in our past. Whether it be from family or relationships, we're jacked up or we've been messed over. Someone just really messed us over in our yesterday. And it prevents us from being able to step out in our tomorrow because we can't even make it through today. It's hard to get to tomorrow when you're having a hard time making it through today. A lot of us even wish today would end and wish we could go ahead and get on with tomorrow, hoping tomorrow will be a better day. But if you didn't do anything about what you brought into today from yesterday, then you're going to drag that stuff into tomorrow just the same way. And then tomorrow will be the same way, and you'll be hoping again for the next day to hurry up and get here. And so the children of Israel, they saw problems ahead of them. There was in their future in this new promised land that was to be given to them. There's blessings, but you have to overcome some problems that you'll encounter moving forward to the future that God has provided for you. And when the children of Israel heard this in verse 33, we talk about the giants and how they look like grasshoppers in the sight of these people. They begin to compare themselves. And you know it's bad when you make yourself out as a grasshopper in someone else's eyes in your own eyes. I mean, their obstacles, the people that they came and saw, they didn't call them grasshoppers. The children of Israel, the spies, called themselves grasshoppers when they saw how big the people were over there. And when we called ourselves grasshoppers, guess what the other people that they were going to encounter probably would end up calling them? Grasshoppers. So they were in their sight. Because if you call yourself a grasshopper long enough, guess what other people will start to call you? They'll make you feel like a grasshopper just like you said you were. So if you're going around talking about like you're a nobody and calling yourself a nobody, after a while, if you keep saying that, people are going to begin to agree with you. Saying stuff like, well, I'm just a nobody, or I'm nothing but a failure, and things like this happen in my life, and so it just prevents me from doing this. And soon enough, so as you think, so as you soon become, and then sadly, eventually, you are. So what they did is they shrunk themselves, basically. Shrunk themselves in the midst of a challenge. And then look what they said in Numbers chapter 14, in the first verses of Numbers chapter 14. When they heard about the challenges of the future, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said, if we would only just have died in Egypt, or in this wilderness that we went through. Why is the Lord bringing us to this promised land He gave us, only for us to die by the sword, or perhaps maybe even our wives and children would be taken away as plunder? Wouldn't it be better for us just to go back to Egypt? Matter of fact, verse 4, they said to each other, why don't we just get a leader who can just take us back to Egypt? They wanted to go back to yesterday. They wanted to go back to Egypt, and they even wanted to choose their own leader to take them back that way. Let Moses and Aaron take the rest of them to their promised land. They wanted to go back to the place where they had begged so hard and cried to God so hard to get out of, and God did it. And now that they're away from there, they run into a little bitty problem, and they said, no, wait a minute, let's go back. In other words, they had left Egypt, but Egypt hadn't left them. They still had Egypt on their minds. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that we can be delivered, but yet still be a slave. We can be delivered, but we can still be a slave. In other words, you can be set free, but still have yesterday running your mind. In fact, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 says that when God led them out of Egypt, He purposely bypassed the Philistines, however you want to say it, Because he knew that as soon as he delivered them from Egypt, if they saw these Philistines over there, they'd get scared. They would have changed their mind, and they would have just turned right around and headed back, right back to Egypt. They still had a different mindset. They still had Egypt on their mind. Y'all remember the show Beverly Hillbillies? That was a great show. Speaking about sitcoms from the past, I can watch reruns from that all day long. You remember the Clampett crew, Granny and her possum Stu, Jethro Bodine, big strapping guy with not much on his mind, Ellie Mae Clampett and all those, the Drysdales. Well, Jed Clampett, he found some black gold on his property, some oil. And then it's not too long after that, they become multimillionaires and they moved to Beverly Hills. And what made this show entertaining was now they're living large, like hillbillies. In other words, their location had changed, but not their mindset. They were still having hillbilly thoughts. And if you hang around people who haven't changed their mindset, they don't just decrease their value. If you're in their vicinity, they decrease your value as well, because their mindset hasn't changed. God not only wanted to deliver from their location of Egypt, but he wanted to deliver them from the mentality they had about Egypt. But still, Egypt was still on their mind because they're still thinking about Egypt. What were they thinking about Egypt? What made Egypt so much on their mind that it was preventing them from their destiny? Back in Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "We remember," see the backward thinking here, "we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and garlics. We had all that stuff. Yes, we were slaves, but they still gave us something to eat. But now we kind of lost our appetite. The only thing that we see around here is this manna that comes down from heaven. And the bad thing about it is that we can't keep it. It rots overnight if you don't eat all of it. And so you got to get up the next day and gather some more for your food. That gets tiring." And this thing back in Egypt, they didn't have to deal with all that. Sure, they had to get up and work or do whatever tasks they were supposed to do as slaves, but still they got fed. They didn't have to go out and get their food. Back in Egypt, we didn't have the responsibility for all this. We had garlic, leeks, and onions, and fish, and melons back in Egypt. So guess what they were saying? They're saying that they would prefer the fish, the garlic, the onions, leeks, and melons in slavery more than they would like the milk and honey in freedom. And so the problem is that they were going to face some challenges in experiencing their freedom if they still wanted to choose slavery, because it was so much easier. They stood on the brink of a fantastic future, a wonderful future, a beautiful tomorrow. But because there was going to be a challenge just moving forward, they wanted to go back. They said, "Let's go back to the way it was in yesterday." And here's what we need to understand, and that's this: that deliverance provides us the opportunity for freedom. It does. We can be delivered through freedom, but that in and of itself is not freedom, the deliverance. We can be delivered to freedom, but deliverance isn't freedom. When you accepted Jesus Christ, that means you were delivered. And you may have been delivered, but still not free. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there are these Gentiles who had become saved or converted from paganism. And they had become saved from paganism, but they were not free to eat the meat that was offered to the idols, because it reminded them of their past connection they had, the paganism. And Paul was telling them, he says, "You know, you guys, I don't want you to violate your conscience by any means if you're not free to eat that meat. But I just want you to know that you are free to eat that meat, because the meat that you have is no longer offered to a false god, because you have the real God in your life through Jesus Christ." But he says, since you still have that mindset that it belongs to a false god, and you brought that into your new condition as a Christian, now what you're doing is limiting yourself to the kind of meat that you can eat. Because you brought the thinking that you had from your pre-Christian days into your life of Christ. And as long as you carry that forward type of thinking, then you'll never be able to be free to enjoy all that the Christian life has to offer. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we have to renew our mind. We have to get that right information in us so that we can live the right kind of life in our new place with Christ. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, that it was for freedom that we have been set free. And that is free to experience all that we were created and redeemed to be. Now get this point, if you don't get anything else out of the message today. But whenever your yesterday looks better than your tomorrow, then you're still a slave. Living on the edge of yesterday. And so the question is this. If that's the case, what do you do about yesterday? What do you do? How do you get away from that? I would suggest this. Use yesterday as a rearview mirror. You glance at it, but you don't have to live it. When you're driving along and you look in the rearview mirror, you're not glued to it, because if you are, you're going to end up hurting yourself and probably somebody else as well. Because when you're staring in that rearview mirror, it prevents you from moving forward. And staring, because you're staring in the rearview mirror, and you're glued to it to see where you're going. But instead, just glance at it. And remember that this is where I was. But instead, move forward and look into what God did and what God is going to do in our lives by this huge, big windshield now that you have before you. Because that glass is so much bigger, because where you're going is always supposed to be bigger than where you've been before. So as we're looking through the windshield, we're able now to see God's perspective on everything and in every subject in our life. If you want to know what God thinks about it, if you want to know how God feels about it, or what God expects you to do in regarding to this or that, then the windshield that we see through before us now provides the view that now we can see the new movement of God that He wants to do in our life. And sometimes in order to do that and to break away from yesterday, sometimes we need to repent of whining. And in our passage today, Numbers chapter 14, verse 2, says that all the way through the wilderness, the people of Israel grumbled and complained. And here you have the spies telling them how great the promised land is, and that God's going to give us this promised land for our future. And the scripture says in verse 2 that all the sons of Israel, verse 2 of chapter 14 of Numbers, grumbled. They whined. And whining is that spirit that constantly rejects negatively what God has said and what God wants to do in our lives. They were grumbling against what God had told them to do. And it says that these people, they just grumble always. And God said he was tired of it, especially after he'd shown them so much what he could do for them. To avoid focusing on yesterday and press forward. And leave yesterday behind. And stop hanging out with the ten. Didn't miss that one, did you? Moses sent 12 spies in. Two came back and reported all that God could do. We can do this and we can do that. But ten of the spies came back and says, there's no way we can do that. That's just not possible. See, the reason why a lot of us live in the past and don't move on toward our future is because of the people that we hang out with. They're not people of faith. They're not people who really trust God. They're people that can't see beyond their yesterday because they want to get together and just always talk about yesterday. all the things they used to do when they were committed to Christ. All the things that they led, and all the things that they just performed. And some Christians, they're just stuck there. And they wonder why they're not making any progress. They wonder why things aren't getting any better. Why? It's because they're busy hanging out with people who are always living on the edge of yesterday. But instead, we want to hang out with people who are trusting God for tomorrow. Because they believe what God has said. Even though there may be giants in the land, there may be obstacles, we're still going to trust God for that. Even though there's a city called Jericho and in our lives with just huge walls around it, we just don't understand how we're going to crash that financial responsibility that lies before us. But if God said that we can take it, then let's go get it. Avoid hanging out with the wrong people. Avoid talking on the phone to the yesterday people. Because remember, in our text, it was only two spies that were right. Joshua and Caleb, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 30. And the problem with hanging out with yesterday people is that you die with them as well. Because the yesterday people, all of them, ended up dying in the wilderness as well. Only two spies were able to make it into the promised land. And that was Caleb, and that was Joshua. Because the scripture says that only those two people believed God and what he could do. So who are you hanging out with? Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3:13. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on. Paul said, I had to let yesterday go. That means the good stuff that I did, the bad stuff, and the ugly stuff as well. You got to let it go. Now I know what you're thinking, Bobby. It's like, well, that's a lot easier said than done. But actually, it's a lot easier done than said. Because the way that you are able to let that stuff go is you focus on the milk and honey. And keep staring at that. Because if you're not able to see the milk and honey in your life, then you're going to hold on to the fish and garlic in your life instead. And if you lose sight that God has a purpose in your life, and if you lose sight that God has a destiny for you, and God has a goal in your life, then you're going to live in yesterday, always thinking about the good old days. Because yesterday is really the only thing that's real to you in your life that you can relate to, and the only thing that you feel secure about in your life with Christ. And that's what you're going to cling on to and hold on to. And that's why God sent the spies in to see the fruit, because he wanted them to see what he was talking about. Sometimes we've got to get a glimpse of that. And every now and then, God will give us a glimpse of our tomorrow. And he may not be able to let us handle it all until we actually go out and do it and get it and make progress forward. But he'll let you see that tomorrow's out there. And sometimes he'll give you the special something about tomorrow that you can just cherish and hold in your mind. You know what Paul had to forget? He had to forget some bad stuff in his life. Because Paul was a murderer. He stood there while Stephen was being stoned to death. He was standing right there. He was basically commissioning the execution of Stephen. He's a killer. Paul persecuted the church of the living God. The man was a murderer. Paul said, I had to let that thing go behind, because if every day I thought about the fact that I was a murderer and that I persecuted the church of my God, then I would have never been able to become an apostle. I would have never been able to write 13 books in the New Testament. So he not only had to forget some bad stuff that he did, but he had to forget some good stuff too. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one of the leaders. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the leading tribes of Israel. He was, according to the law, a perfect man. He kept all of those rules. He probably would put many, if not all of us, to shame from the rules that he kept as a religious person. And he said, I had to forget that stuff too, even though as good as I was. And so Paul left that behind, because he had new mountains to conquer, and he had new victories to experience, and he had a lot of new pathways that God was going to lead him to. There's some other people in the Bible too that had to forget the ugly. Joseph in the Bible had to forget the ugly because his brothers were ugly to him. His brothers sold him into slavery, and that's ugly. He was also accused falsely of rape. That's ugly. He was forgotten in prison after helping a fellow prisoner get out of jail. That's ugly. None of that's good. That's ugly stuff. He could have spent the rest of his life saying, you guys did me wrong. You shouldn't have sold me into slavery. You know that's not right. Why did you do that? Because if you wouldn't have sold me as a slave, then I wouldn't have had to endure all this stuff that I had to endure. And you guys did this all over a colorful coat that Dad gave me. Really? I'm never going to forget what you guys did to me. Because remember, fellas, what goes around comes around. But instead, you know what Joseph did in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20? He says, no, you guys meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. You've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. If you're going to be free to move forward, you've got to stop living on the edge of yesterday. And you've just got to let it go. And not be held hostage to yesterday. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 says, don't call to mind all the former things, or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I'm going to do something new, and it's going to spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? Are you going to miss it? And God's trying to do something new, but many of us are stuck remembering something old. You need to take that something old and put it on the fireplace now and look at it every now and then as you walk by. Don't worship it. Just look at it every now and then. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39, the writer is telling New Testament Christians, he says, don't throw away your confidence. That's a lot of great reward in that. For you guys need that confidence in the endurance you're going to go through. So that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised to you. Because guys, in a little while, he who is coming is going to come. And he's not going to delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, when I do come, then I have no pleasure in him. Man, that verse haunted me for the longest time. In my younger years, I was a believer in Christ. But I thought, Lord, don't come back now. I got to find a rock to hide under. Or, you know, I've come back on Sunday when I'm in church. Man, don't come back now. If he comes back, I don't know what I'm going to do. And a lot of people are like that. They don't really want Christ to come back yet because they haven't got it together in their life. And the writer's saying, don't go backwards. Don't shrink back. Because just like Israel did, my soul has no pleasure in him when that happens. I know the Olympics have been postponed until next year, but I love to watch the Olympics, especially in track. When you watch the fastest people on the planet run, and it's just amazing the strides they take and the speed they have. But what's interesting when you watch that is toward the end, the ribbon is a lot of times they'll lean forward because they're pressing forward to get and bust through that tank. And once you turn to go backwards, then you're working against where you're trying to go. You don't ever see any runners running and leaning back trying to bust through the tank. They're leaning forward. Let it go. Yesterday, it was good, and yesterday it was bad, and it was ugly. And the interesting about that is you can't change any of it. It's either permanently good, permanently bad, or permanently ugly. But what you can do is press on. And you can lean toward the high hope and the calling that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's be blessed in the Lord with our future that He has for us. For our tomorrow is always greater than our yesterday. We thank You for our identity in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us. Thank You for delivering us. Help us to forget our yesterday. Help us to understand how big our tomorrow is. And we pray that for those who perhaps if are stuck in yesterday can cross over and find a new life and freedom, the new life in You, and to experience You in a way that perhaps they never had before in their life. Things they hear people talk about, the blessings, the joy, the abundant life. I ask that You would help them to understand what this is. Remove the scales from their eyes. Help them to lean forward in their walk and in a race with You, Father. To lean forward, to press on to You. And to see the land of milk and honey in their life. We thank You, Father, for the tomorrow that You bring us. In spite of the yesterdays we've been through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we thank You for Your redeeming and loving path to glory that You have in our lives. And all the church said, amen. Amen, church. This week, go out and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. May you have a wonderful week ahead.